is Maximilian Hanusch, and he's going to talk about invariance of connections and measures in LQC. Please go ahead.
So first, I express my gratitude for the opportunity to give a talk, and today I want to present some select topics of my doctoral thesis, which is about symmetry, mathematical aspects of symmetry reduction in the framework of the quantum gravity. So let's go to the first slide. Here I want to give a brief overview about the traditional reduction concept, which was used so far to reduce the configuration spaces of A to G. This is that we have an attitude bundle together with some symmetry, which defines as the reduced classical space of invariant connections on the bundle. So the classical configuration space of the full series is formed by a set of all connections, all smooth connections, and the reduced one is formed by the invariant one. So here then one considers compactifications of these spaces, which are just given by Gelfand compactifications. It's just to choose suitable separating decisibles of on functions on these sets and to consider the spectrum. Because it's going from A to the compactification is performed because it's much easier to define measures on these compact spaces. So to give an example, let's consider the case of standard quantum cosmology. Here the set of invariant connections is bijection to the numbers, and this algebra used to compactify this space is given by the Omnius pulse functions on our end. These are functions that correspond to parallel transport along linear curves. Yeah. And the spectrum of this algebra is the Bohr compactification of the real line, which is a standard quantum configuration space of quantum cosmology. So due to flashback, we now have the following embedding results, namely if you want to extend the canonical inclusion of the invariant connection, or say the classical configuration space into that of the full space, if you want to extend this to the quantum level, and we need that the star algebra, which we need to quantize the invariant space, it has to contain the full space of the star algebra we use to quantize the full space. Yeah? This is a necessary condition, and to get embedding, this also has to be dense. And so what one always can do to get an embedding on quantum level, one can just define the C-star algebra, the invariant one, to be given by the C-star closure of the pullback of the C-star algebra used to quantize the full series. And if one does so for the setting of new quantum cosmology, or say homogeneous isotropic new quantum cosmology, one gets a different configuration space, namely the joint union of the real line is the bottom part. It's basically because here one uses parallel transport along all embedded analytic curves, and in the traditional setting, one only uses linear curves. So this is a reduction on classical level, because here one first reduces the classical space of smooth connection, then quantizes. And what we want to do in this talk is to perform a symmetry reduction on the quantum level. So let's go to the next slide. So the basic idea is to introduce the notion of a listed action in order to perform a quantum reduction, and also to single out measures on reduced quantum configuration spaces by means of invariant properties. So here the basic mathematical setting is that we have some set which forms a classical configuration space. We have an action of the set on the set, which defines as the reduced configuration space, which then is just given by all classical elements which are invariant under the whole symmetry action. Then we have a C-star subalgebra of the bound functions on X. This spectrum gives us the quantum space. Yeah. This is X bar. And here we always have this canonical embedding of the classical space into the quantum space just maps the classical element to the evaluation function. So the crucial observation here now is that if the algebra which we use to complexify X is the Cita algebra invariant under the symmetry group, then we have a unique list of these classical actions to the quantum spaces, which is unique with respect to the following properties. The first is that the translations with respect to the listed action are continuous, which ensures that the reduced quantum space is always closed and even compact if it is unique. The second property means that the listed action is compatible with respect to the classical action, and this ensures us that if we map the classical invariant space into the spectrum and then take the closure, it's always contained in the quantum, the set of quantum invariant quantum elements. As we will discuss later, this just means that a quantization on quantum level usually it's more than quantizing the reduced classical space. So let's go to the next slide, where I translate these quantities in terms of the quantum gravity quantities. You have usually some SO2 principal fiber bundle. X is the set of smooth connections on this bundle. B is the star algebra of identity functions on the set of smooth connections, which is generated by such functions here. These are just to compose a continuous function on the structure group with polynomials along curves gamma, which are contained in some fixed set of curves, which we have fixed from the beginning. The quantum conservation space X bar, then denoted by A bar, is just the spectrum of C and called generalized connection in the following. And the symmetry action on quite classical level features becomes from the group of automorphisms of the bundle, which are the symmetry action on the bundle for which this compatibility condition you hold, which just means that this action is compatible with the right action of the structure group in the bundle. And if you look on the right-hand side, you see this just means that first translating some point Pm in the fiber by a structure group element and then applying phi g is the same as first applying the action and then translating in the fiber. So due to this property, we have two actions for free. The first is the action feature, which is just X on smooth connections by codecking them. And the second one is an action on the base manifold, which just works as follows. Applying G to M just means to, on the right-hand side, pitch on the right-hand side again, and we take something in the fiber over the point M, apply the action phi G to the bundle and project back to the base manifold. And easy to see that this is the smooth action, and it's well defined due to this automorphism property here. So let's go to the next slide. Here I will just explain you how to do reduction classical level or repeat what I already have said on the first slide. One first calculates the set A theta of invariant classical elements. These are all elements which are invariant under the classical action. This is a set of invariant connections on P. And then one quantizes this reduced classical space just by, let's say, restricting the symmetric functions to the set of invariant connections. Then it takes the star closure and calculates the spectrum of this. And since the structure group is compact in our application, this is the same as just using the map IOTA, which maps A into the quantum space in order to use this map in order to map the classical invariant elements into the spectrum and then to take the closure. Yeah. This is the same. Also, this gives the reduced classical, the quantized reduced classical space. So, for example, we again consider the case of homogeneous isotropic cosmology. Here, the SO2 bundle is just R3 times SO2. Phi is the achieving group action, and set of invariant connections is parameterized by real numbers. concern, there are two approaches. The traditional approach from of Ashteka, Bodewald, and Lewandowski is to use linear curves in order to find this is the algebra of cylindrical functions. And here we get the almost perfect functions as this is the algebra C, the restriction is the algebra. And if one uses all embedded analytic curves, we get the vector space direct sum of almost perfect functions 1R with a continuous function which vanishes at infinity. So in the traditional approach, we get the Bohr compactification of the line as the spectrum, and in the approach from Leischak, we get the disjoint union of the Bohr compactification of the line, but this case carries a quite tricky topology. It's not just the disjoint. But the union of the topologies is a little bit more complicated. So anyhow, the canonical inclusion of the set of invariant connections to that of all smooth connections only extends in the Leischak approach, because here the same set of curves is used to define the cylindrical function which we use to quantize the reduced classical spaces. So in the other case, if we use linear curves, there's no such extension, which was shown in 2009. So let's go to the next slide. Here I want, okay, so now if one has the reduced quantum configuration spaces, in order to find the dynamics, one has to assign some Hilbert space to it, and so the easiest way is to one possible way is to define pressures on this reduced space. And in order to do so, the most convenient measures are Hadron measure. And so now we want to figure out all normalized Hadron measure on R omega R. And here is the crucial observation that the Borel sigma algebra of the set splits up. It's just the disjoint union of the Borel sigma algebra on R and that on Abor. And for this reason, each normalized or each finite Hadron measure on this space just splits up in this convenient way here. Just the sum of the normalized Hadron measure on R and one of Abor. And of course, there might be many of them. And what we now want to do is to single out one of these measures. Yeah. And what now can do is to apply the concept of elliptic action. And here the crucial observation is that we can let x to be numbers on our classical invariant configuration space, because it's just given by R. It's just the additive action of R on R. And in both cases, so in the traditional approach and in the Leischak approach, this action extends to the quantum spaces. Yeah. And in both cases, this action single out the R measure on the Abor part. So in both cases, the same condition singles out the standard kinematical Hilbert space of two quantum cosmology. And this is also in line with the approach of Jonathan Engel, which has worked on embedding states of standard accuracy in that of symmetric vectors of full theory. And what he has done, he has used that we can embed the distribution states on the Fleischer on C0 of R plus CIT of R into distributional states on the cylindrical functions which define the full theory, just because we have this convenient embedding I in this case. And then one can decompose it with a trivial embedding of the almost perfect functions on R in this direct sum. And here, if one now, as in this paper, the assumption was made that in order to assign to operators on Hilbert space that corresponds to R bar, omega bar, to operators on the standard kinematic Hilbert spaces. Here, the assumption was made that the scalar product with respect to some measure mu on R omega bar has to fulfill these two conditions here, and also these two conditions are singling out the same measure, namely the standard measure, the standard kinematic Hilbert space. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. And so far, we only have talked about reduction on classical level, and now I want to reformulate the reduction concept on quantum level to the quantum gravity setting. Here we have the following, namely that the classical action theta lists to quantum action is to start with algebra of cylindric functions invariant under pullbacks by theta, and in the AQG setting where the cylindric functions are just given by holonomies along on curves, as this condition is fulfilled if the set of curves P, which we use to define these cylindric functions, is invariant in the sense that if I have a curve in P, then the translate of this curve has again to be in P. And for instance, if P is a set of embedded analytic curves and phi is analytic, this is always fulfilled. So in all, whenever this is fulfilled, you always get a list of the classical action to the quantum space. You always can perform the symmetry reduction on the quantum level. So the reduced space, A theta bar, A bar theta, blue space, and it's called a set of invariant connections in the following. Of course, these are all generalized connections which are invariant under the viscid action. And we, since we had that all the translations with respect to theta g are continuous, our reduced space is always compact because our structure group is compact. And since our blue action, big theta, extends the classical action, we always have that the quantized reduced classical space, so the traditional reduced quantum space is always contained in our quantum reduced one. So now one can ask whether this inclusion is proper or not. And indeed, one can answer this question, for instance, for inhomogeneous and homogeneous isotropic blue quantum cosmology. If one takes all embedded analytic curves into account to define the quantum spaces and the reduced ones, one always had a proper inclusion. So here, reduction on quantum level indeed gives more. And in the inhomogeneous cases, it's always true for linear curves, but in the homogeneous isotropic case, the string to linear curves gives the same. So in the same here is the Bohr compactification of the year. Okay, go to the next slide. And here I want to give a brief overview about reduction on classical and quantum level. So we have given a principal fiber bundle with compact structure group. We have a symmetry d phi on P on this bundle of the, on this bundle P. This is the right arrow. This defines as action small theta on the set of these connections. Then choosing some set of curves in the base manifold defines as the compactification of A bar. Yeah. And then we can list this classical action small theta to the action big theta on the quantum space. This gives us this reduced quantum space, A bar theta, which consists of all distributional or generalized connections which are stabilized by the symmetry. And this is an analogy to that what one has done in the traditional approach. On the right-hand side of the diagram, here one first has calculated the set of invariant classical elements, which then one has quantized, giving rise to this base A theta bar of quantized invariant classical elements. Both spaces are compact, and the quantized reduced classical space is always contained into the quantum reduced one. And this list of the action theta always possible if the set of curves which we use to define the reduced quantum space is invariant in the sense that some place of elements in P are again in P. What is usually fulfilled because P is smooth and P smooth or analytic and the set of curves one used to define the holonomic functions usually also smooth or analytic. Okay. So let's go to the next slide. So far, I talked about reducing the configuration spaces. Now, I want to say a few words about the construction measures on the quantum reduced configuration spaces. The setting will be that our structure is compact and connected, and our set of curves we use to define the unique function. The following is assumed to be to consist of embedded analytic curves in the base manifold. In this case, the reduced quantum space can, or feature can be identified with the space of invariant homomorphism, home theta, P omega. These are just maps which assign curves gamma a generalized parallel transport, namely just A of gamma is just a map which assigns to a point in the fiber over the starting point of gamma, an element in the fiber of the endpoint of gamma. And this assignment has to be compatible with the structure group multiplication. Basically, this is just the same. What one also can do is to choose a point over each fiber in M, and then one also can find assume that such homomorphisms take values in the structure group. But then this, the next invariant condition reads very horrible. And so if we use these isomorphisms between fibers, we can write down invariance of homomorphism in this way. Just means that A applied to the translated curve applies to the translated point, the same as A applied to the original curve, the original point, and then translated by the symmetry action. Okay. So, and now the strategy is the following. The strategy is to split up the set of embedded analytic curves into natural subsets, each being closed under inversion and decomposition of the curves. Because then, if we have such a decomposition, also the set of invariant homomorphisms can be written as a product of homomorphisms defined on these sets. And then the strategy is to find a normalized Wadom measure on each of these purple spaces, which immediately gives us a normalized Wadom measure on the full space. Yeah. So let's go to the next slide. So in order to split up the set of embedded analytic curves, we will be forced to do the following assumptions to the action phi. First assumption that this action is analytic. And the second assumption is pointless properness. And the second, this just means that the map phi x, the orbit map assigned to a point, is proper. And this condition is a weaker condition than properness of the action, but already sufficient. So, anyhow, if we have these assumptions, we can decompose set of embedded energy curves into continuously and discretely generated ones. Where the names, discretely generated means discretely generated with respect to the symmetry group, and so the set P disk is now defined as follows. It consists of all embedded analytic curves for which we find a compact interval in the domain, such that for the segment delta, which is just a restriction of gamma to K, we have the following, namely if delta shares an open interval with one of its translates by the symmetry group, then it has to be the same. So delta sharing an open segment with pi g composed with delta already implies that delta is the same than pi g composed with delta. It seems quite technical at the first sight, but this condition now ensures the following. Namely that if gamma is discretely generated, then we find a compact interval contained in the domain such that this curve. So the domain of gamma can be split up into segments, and each of the segments is already a translate of delta. So this just means that the curve gamma is discretely generated by the symmetry group. Yeah. Okay. Has anybody a question? Maybe this was, it's a little bit confusing because I have called the set discretely generated from the beginning, but to understand why I've called this discretely generated, just this property I have added at the end. So first we define the discretely generated curves by taking the condition here, and then we conclude or we show that each curve fulfilling this condition can be split up into such subcurves, such that each of the subcurves is already a translate of the sigmoid delta. Okay. And this property then also guarantees that Pcont and Pdist are closed under decompositions and inversions. And this means that the set of invariant homomorphisms now factorizes in such homomorphisms defined on the continuously generated curves and on the discretely generated ones. And we now want to define a measure on the on both spaces, and we start with homomorphisms on discretely generated curves, which we do on the next slide. Here the strategy is to do projective limit constructions, as one does also does for full theory, in order to define the Ashtika-Lewandowski measure. And of course, the crucial property one has to show is the surjectivity of certain projection maps. Here, just to assign to such a collection of curves gamma 1 to gamma k the images of A on these curves. Yeah? Of course, we have defined A to have images in isomorphisms to fibers, but as already stated in two slides before, such values in isomorphisms between fibers can be replaced just by values in the structure group. So these projection maps map homomorphisms to structure group elements. And in order to show subjectivity of such projection maps, we have to need some modification results, which say how to change the value of an invariant homomorphism on the fixed discretely generated curves. And here this is done by means of G gamma I invariant maps, and here G gamma I denotes stabilizer of the discretely generated curves. And the stabilizer is indeed a well-defined quantity in this context, and closed subgroup and so on. And basically that this quantity is well-defined depends on our choice on the symmetry action, and that it was analytic and points us up and so on. And of course, in general, not each discretely generated curves has trivial stabilizer, but we always can split up the set of discretely generated curves into such having trivial and such having non-trivial stabilizer. And also here we get a factorization, a respective factorization. And now the nice thing is that on the blue space, one always can construct a normalized order measure, which then even specializes to the Ashtika-Lewandowski measure if the symmetry group is trivial. This is just because then each discretely generated curve is embedded analytic already, because we have no translates of any segments and so on. And then also the set of continuously generated curves is just empty because it's the complement of the set of discretely generated ones. And on the purple space, which corresponds, which is given by homomorphisms one quickly generated first, we have a non-trivial stabilizer. One can use similar constructions, which are usually also applies to normal estrada measures. So, example, in immunogenous and homogeneous isotropic APCs, we only have a few degenerated curves with trivial stabilizers, so we there get a measure on the orange space. And in the spherically symmetric case, the only curves, degenerated curves with non-trivial stabilizer are linear curves to the origin, because their stabilizer is given by rotations around their direction. Yeah? In this case, one also can define a constructive measure on the surface space. So in all these three cases, we get a measure on the yellow space. So let's go to the next slide. The second space we have to define a measure on is the set of invariant homomorphisms, which corresponds to the continuously generated curves. And this green space set now can be split up as well, mainly in D-algebra generated curves and non-D-algebra generated ones. And D-algebra generated curves are just curves which are generated by D-algebra elements of the symmetry group, which just use the exponential map in the symmetry group together with the action in order to get a curve in the base manifold. And this is just G gamma x, which assigns to T x of T times G, and then applying this to a fixed element x, here the induced action. And the set of continuously but not non-algebra generated curves, then it's just a complement in Sekond. Also here we get a factorization of the green space, but here unfortunately usually not clear how the gray space looks like, just because these curves are very difficult to determine. But anyhow, if our action is transitive or proper and only admits normal stabilizers, except it can be shown to be empty. Yeah? For instance, in homogeneous accuracy, this is the case. And there, the D-algebra generated curves are just linear curves. It's very fairly symmetric in the homogeneous isotropic case. So far, we do not know whether this gray set is empty. And of course, in the spherically symmetric case, the algebra generated curves are circles, and the homogeneous isotropic case, they align surfaces sideways. So for now, we will ignore the gray set and concentrate on the set of invariant homomorphisms defined in the algebra generated curves. Let's go to the next slide. Here, the idea is to calculate this set explicitly. Yeah? And for this one, needs certain families of D-algebra elements having the technical property of stability. But we have such families in all three XC cases, so that in all these cases, we can calculate the set. So just let's ignore the stability definition and let's go to the directly to the case where the structure group is SO2. Here, in this case, we can use these families in order to provide the set of invariant homomorphism as a product of copies of one of these four spaces. The first is just consists only of one element. The second is the Bohr compactification of R. And the last two ones are basically products of the Bohr compactification. The first case is the unit circle, and the second case is the two-sphere. And basically, these last two factors say in which two the Bohr part basically encodes the homomorphism property of such an invariant homomorphism. And the second part parameterizes in which maximal towards such an invariant homomorphism is allowed to map to. Yeah? Because due to these invariant properties, there are restrictions to the possible images. And this is exactly why these four spaces here occur. So on each of these spaces, we have natural radar measures and a raw, of course, a harm measure. And on these products, we can basically take the radon product measure of Bohr with the harm measure on S1 and the area measure on S2. And since we can write a home theta PG as a Tikhonov product of such spaces, we get a radon product measure on the full space. And for instance, in the homogeneous accuracy, we just get copies of a Bohr times S2. So clearly, the metric case, we get two different types of factors. And in the homogeneous isotropic case, we also get two types of factors, whereby the first factor corresponds to linear curves. This is indeed related to the phase of Bohr we get if we do standard homogeneous isotropic accuracy. Yeah? This is really the part which comes from linear curves, which are the algebra generated in the homogeneous isotropic case. Okay, let's go to the next slide, where there's a brief overview. If we stick to embedded analytic curves and analytic action, which are also called as proper, we can split up the set of embedded analytic curves into continuously and discretely generated ones. The discretely generated curves also split up into such having trivial stabilizer and such having non-trivial stabilizer. On the corresponding set of invariant homomorphisms, which correspond to the discretely and free generated curves, we always can construct the normalized radar measure, which generalizes the Arshtikova-Lewandowski measure. And on the purple space, we can construct measures in several situations using the same projective limit construction. If the action phi is in addition transitive or proper and only as an normal stabilizer, the set of continuously generated curves, the green set, the same as the set of V-algebra generated ones. And on the set, the respective set of invariant homomorphisms, we can define the measure as, for instance, if the structure is S2 or S1, the unit circle, if we have suitable families of stable elements. And because if this was the case in all three the quantum cosmology situations, in homogeneous, very symmetric, and homogeneous accuracy. And in semi-homogeneous accuracy, where the action is proper and free, we indeed get a measure on the full quantum medium space. And the blue space, A bar theta. But here we have, it's just given by the product of these two, the purple and the blue space. In the spherically symmetric and homogeneous isotropic case, we also would have a measure on the full quantum medium space if we would know that the green set of continuously generated curves were the same as the purple space of the algebra generated ones. But this is still an open question, which we have to investigate. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. We have seen that constructing measures on these quantum spaces is still a non-trivial task. And so one might ask whether maybe it's better to, instead of considering invariant homomorphism, to use the lifted action in order to find invariant module or up to gauge directly on the quantum level. Yeah? One has this notion in the classical case. One can say what it means, connection to the invariant up to gauge transformation. And now we have a lifted action, so we also can define invariant up to gauge directly on the quantum level. So let's set of gauge transformations just be given by all maps from P, from the bundle to itself, which has the base point invariant and which is compatible with the structure groups. And can the set, the final set, home theta G, or invariant homomorphisms invariant up to gauge, just by this condition here, just means that for each group element, we find a gauge transformation, such that applying the action to the our homomorphisms gives back the homomorphisms up to the gauge transformation. Recall that here I've written down how invariance now differs from invariance up to gauge. You see that the left-hand side of both equations just coincides, and on the right-hand side, one has modifications by the gauge transformation and its inverse. So the properties of this new space now are that it is compact, structures of it compact. It's more physical than a set of invariant connections, and it consists usually of much, much more elements, because if you take, for instance, an invariant homomorphism, then you can pull it back by some gauge transformation and get a homomorphism which is invariant up to gauge. Due to the fact that there usually are much more elements, at this point, on a heuristic level, it seems easier to construct measures on this. Okay, so let's go to the next slide, where I just want to say a few words about ongoing future work. First is an investigation of quantization and reduction. Here we can use modification techniques we have developed to calculate to perform these projected limit constructions and to calculate the set of environmental homomorphisms in order to construct environmental homomorphisms which cannot be approximated by classical invariant connections. So this is usually the strategy in order to show that a reduction on quantum level gets smaller. One usually has to construct elements which cannot be come from classical invariant connections. So in tier one, still have some work to do in the future. So concerning measures, one should find more conditions which imply that set of continuously generated first equals set of VI generated ones, because then you would, for instance, would have measures also in the other two cosmological cases. Of course, one should construct measure on the set of homomorphisms which are invariant up to gauge transformations. And as in the homogeneous isotropic standard LTC case, well, here one can try to use listed actions in order to show that measures we have constructed might be singled out by means of some invariant properties. So concerning the dynamics, of course, one has to reduce flux algebra and define representations on the Hilbert spaces, which are defined by our measures we have constructed. And of course, one has to investigate the question how to embed the space into respective symmetric vectors of full SCP. So let's go to the last slide, give a brief summary. In learning homogeneous isotropic SCP, we have learned the following. The Haar measure on the Bohr compactification is a unit normalized Radon measure, which is invariant also in the standard approach to homogeneous isotropic LTC and in the Kleischak approach. The Haar measure on a Bohr is a unique measure which is invariant under the list of the additive action on R. So in both cases, this condition singles out the standard thematic Hilbert space of LTC. And we have seen that one performs a quantum reduction. The algebra part of this quantum reduced space can be written as such a product, where the first part corresponds to the first part of all corresponds to the quantum configuration space, which one gets by the traditional approach. So concerning reduction of quantum level, we have already learned the following. We have seen that this usually gives larger reduced quantum spaces, and that one can define measures on these spaces if one splits up, for instance, a set of embedded analytic curves into a natural subset, as then the space is factorized. So, then we have learned that the factors which correspond to the algebra generated curves usually as a provided that suitable families of stable elements exist, is homomorphic to products involving the Bohr compactification of R, which is related to, for instance, to the approach of standard accuracy, because there, for instance, linear curves are algebra generated in this case, and also here we get the Bohr compactification, which basically is due to this fact. Okay. This is the last slide. Well, thank you for your attention, and hope for some questions now.
Questions?
Hello? Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I'm going.
Can you go to, here's Wolfgang from Penn State. Can you go to slide alternative invariance modulo gauge?
Yeah. One moment, please. Yeah.
So you were giving these two lines, invariance and invariance up to gauge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the first line, is this somehow possible only if the underlying fiber bundle that you're using is completely trivial, such that
you
can have a global section?
No,
can you just comment maybe on this, on whether there are obstructions coming from the topology of the fiber bundle?
No, that's a nice thing. It's completely, you don't need trivialism. It's completely general result. The only thing you need is that the curves in the base manifold, which you use to define the quantum space, is invariant under the template by the induced action. And you have really have no obstructions from any non-triviality or something like this. Okay.
Other questions?
Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks.
Okay.
Are there more questions? If not, let's thank the speaker again.